Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 23rd, 2018. In turmoil, most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar, heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, name, number, prayer request, and or message, the phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And on the cell phone, if you don't get me, text me, because I get a lot of prank calls. So sometimes I just get frustrated and don't answer for a couple of days. So text me and I'll know that you're legitimate. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at the Ministry Hub, which is very simply what? Prophecyhour.com. Now, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. Okay, on another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Mersin Province, Turkey, Chiba City, Japan, Sofia, Bulgaria, and Kaduna, Nigeria. Of course, cities in good old United States such as Honolulu, Hawaii, and my heart goes out to Hawaii right now. They are in a storm. I really pray for all life. I pray they don't get people get injured. Anyway, there's a hurricane headed there or hitting there right now. That's Oakland, California, Seattle, Washington, and Mesa, Arizona. These are just to name a few. Of course, Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now prayer, bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that radio goes according to your will and not my will, Father, nor our guest will. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in your Son Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, there is I call it a phenomenon. There's a strange thing going on the Internet. Now, I was surprised. I just heard about it yesterday. We're talking about Q or QAnon, which is QAnon. And I have noticed people wearing T-shirts, you know, when I see them at Trump rallies and things. Not that I've went to any Trump rallies, but, you know, we live in a modern age where you can just look up and see it. Now, QAnon, according to Wikipedia, which is a very bad place to go because it's controlled by leftists. You know that, right? Anyway, QAnon, is a conspiracy theory centering around on Q, an online handle used on several image boards by a presumably, you know, they assume it's an American, an individual or group of individuals claiming to have access to classified information involving the Trump administration and its opponents in the United States. The theory details a supposed secret conspiracy by a deep state against President Trump and his supporters. Q has accused numerous Hollywood actors, politicians, and other high-ranking officials of engaging in international child sex trafficking. Now, that's just one of the things. Now, if you start going around looking at, for Q, you'll find lots of things. Now, I don't have a final yes or no about him, and neither does Frank. And I'm going to bring Frank on with me to talk about this. But first, and Frank, welcome. But I just, and by the way, Frank has his own radio program. He's also the producer for this program, and he has the Frank Report. So welcome, Frank, and I want to read this little thing. Did you get a chance to go look at it?
No, I haven't, but I'll be listening.
Okay. Now, while I found some good things with Q and some things I'm suspicious of, but this really breaks down what's been going on. So this was on Reddit.com, and they also call this Q thing the Great Awakening. Okay. Now, here's what it says. It says, I'm passing this on from someone who's connected some dots with input from sources he won't reveal. Here's what it looks like when the pieces are sewn together. It smells like conspiracy and treason. Everyone needs to read it. From 2001 to 2005, there was an ongoing investigation into the Clinton Foundation. A grand jury had been impaneled. Governments from around the world had donated to the charity. That's the Clintons. Yet from 2001 to 2003, none of those donations to the Clinton Foundation were declared. Now, you would think that an honest investigator would be able to figure this out. Look who took over the investigation in 2005. None other than James Comey. Coincidence? Guess who was transferred into the Internal Revenue Service to run the tax exemption branch of the IRS? None other than Lois Lerner. Now, that's interesting. But isn't there? But these aren't just a series of strange coincidences, are they? Guess who ran the tax division inside the Department of Justice from 2001 to 2005? None other than the Assistant Attorney General of the United States, Rod Rosenstein. Now, these people are all coming together. Listen to this. Guess who was the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation during this time frame? Another coincidence? It was Robert Mueller. Now, what do all these four characters have in common? They were briefed and or were frontline investigators into the Clinton Foundation investigation. Another coincidence, it says, right? Okay, let's jump forward to 2009. James Comey leads the Justice Department to go and cash in at Lockheed Martin. Hillary Clinton is running the State Department official government business on her own personal email server. Uranium One issue comes into the attention of Hillary. Unlike all good, like all good public servants do, supposedly looking out for America's best interest, she decides to support the decision and approve the sale of 20% of the United States uranium to none other than who? The Russians. Now, you would think this is a fairly straight-up deal, except it wasn't. America got absolutely nothing out of it. However, prior to the sale's approval, no other than Bill Clinton goes to Moscow and gets paid $500,000 for a one-hour speech. Then he meets with Vladimir Putin at his home for a few hours. Okay, another big deal, right? Well, not so fast. The FBI had a mole inside the money laundering and bribery screen. Robert Mueller was the FBI director during this time frame. He even delivered a uranium sample to Moscow in 2009. Another coincidence, right? Okay, who was handling the case with the Justice Department? The Department of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Maryland. None other than who? Rod Rosenstein. And what happened to the informant? The Department of Justice placed a gag order on him and threatened to lock him up if he ever spoke about it. Now, how does 20% of the most strategic assets of the United States of America end up in Russian hands when the FBI has an informant, a mole, providing inside information to the FBI on the criminal enterprise? Very soon after the sale, the sale was approved. $145 million in donations made their way into the Clinton Foundation from entities directly connected to the Uranium One deal. Guess who was still in the Internal Revenue Service working at the charitable division? None other than who? Lois Lerner. Now, look. Oh, this is just another series of coincidences, right? Okay, let's fast forward to 2015. Due to a series of tragic events in Benghazi after the 9 investigations in the House, Senate, and State Department, Trey Gowdy, who was running the 10th investigation as chairman of the Select Committee on Benghazi, discovers that Hillary ran the State Department on an unclassified, unauthorized, outlaw personal server. He also discovered none of those emails had been turned over when she departed her public service as Secretary of State, which was required by law. She also discovered there was top secret information contained within her personally archived email. Sparing you the State Department's cover-up, they floated the delay tactics that were employed and outright lies that were spewed forth from the necks of the Kerry State Department. Then we shall leave that with this. Then everything turned possible. Everything was done then to cover for Hillary. Now, is this amazing? Guess who became the FBI director in 2013? James Comey. He secured 17 no-bid contracts for his employer, Lockheed Martin, with the State Department, and was rewarded with a $6 million thank you present when he departed this employer. Amazing how all those no bids went on right through the state, right? State Department, get it? Now, he is the FBI director in charge of the Clinton email investigation. Of course, his FBI investigates the Lois Lerner matter at the Internal Revenue Service, and he exonerates her. Nope, couldn't find any crimes there. In April 2016, James Comey drafts the exoneration letter of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice is handling out immunity deals like candy. They didn't even convene a grand jury. Like a lightning bolt, statistically impossible, like a miracle from God himself, like the true gangster Comey is, James steps out of the cameras for an awaiting press on July 8th and exonerates Hillary Clinton. Do you see a pattern yet, folks? It goes on and on. Rosenstein becomes the assistant attorney general. Comey gets fired based on a letter by Rosenstein. Comey leaks government information to the press. Mueller is assigned to the Russia investigation sham by Rosenstein to provide cover for decades of malfeasance within the FBI and Departments of Justice. The FBI, folks, I still got a couple more. This is just crazy what's going on. The person that is the common denominator to all these crimes above are still doing their evil to escape maneuvers at the top of the three USA agencies. That would be Hillary Clinton. Now, there's an attorney that's taking care of this. Now, this attorney that's taking care of all this is Lisa Barsoomian. Well, let's learn about Lisa Barsoomian's background. Lisa is an attorney that graduated from Georgetown Law and is a protege of James Comey and Robert Mueller. Barsoomian, with her boss R. Craig Lawrence, representing Bill Clinton in 1998. Lawrence also represented Robert Mueller three times, James Comey five times, Barack Obama forty-five times, Kathleen Sebelius 56 times, Bill Clinton 40 times, Hillary Clinton 17 times, and between 1998 and 2017, she represented the FBI at least five times. Now, you know, there's more to this, and I sent it over there, but you know whose wife this woman is? This is Rod Rosenstein's wife. Right. What do you think about all that?
Well, you know, the thing is, when you've got somebody online saying, you know, with a made-up name, who nobody knows who it is, okay, so you got to look at it and say, well, all right. When they start, you know, saying any opinions and stuff, you got to say, well, who cares? I don't know who you are, right? Your opinion's mm-hmm. meaningless if I don't know who you are. However, when you're telling me facts, it doesn't matter who you are, okay? Facts are facts. We can check these. We can go and see, well, you know, were these people actually in those positions when he said they were? Well, yes, right. They were. So it doesn't matter who this guy is. And that's why I was telling you that, you know, I take what is said with a grain of salt, but I also recognize the difference between conclusions. That's another thing that, you know, okay, look, we can all look at the same stuff and come up with different conclusions. It happens all the time, right? And
right,
it doesn't mean anybody's stupid or wrong, or, you know, somebody's wrong, of course, because everybody can't be right. But, well, then again, everybody can be wrong. You know, but if you can discern the difference between, okay, that's his opinion, okay, that's a conclusion, all right, but this is a fact right here, okay? So, okay, I accept facts, and I don't care who they come from, okay?
Right, right.
You know, and that's what people got to do when they look at things like this, so we don't get bamboozled. And the danger with this is you got to do it every single time, because what ends up happening, and it's natural for people to want to do this, I want to do it too, but I fight it and I don't do it. But you can't do that if you don't recognize it's happening.
Right.
You'll go, okay.
Let me just throw this in here real quick. Okay. First off, folks, of course, now we're talking about Q. This is a huge movement of people, and supposedly this guy Q keeps leaving classified information. Now, while that, I believe that to be concrete, good facts that I just read that you can check out. It's a good projection of the story. Okay. But there's also a lot of things that Q are saying that I don't believe. They keep doing this thing, Frank, like they say, calm down, the plan's in place.
Yeah, I
know.
You
don't have to do anything. And that's dangerous. That says, okay, well, you don't even have to go vote. You know what I'm saying? Back to you.
Well, and that's the thing. So you look at this and you go, well, okay, I'm disregarding your opinion because I don't know who you are and I don't really care. And disregarding your conclusions because, again, I'll come up with my own conclusions, thank you very much. And I'm going to rely on these facts. Okay. So you go, wow, that QAnon guy, man, he puts out some, you know, facts. I checked them. They're true, right? So what happens next time? Next time QAnon comes out, he puts some facts, and you're smart, and you say, okay, those are opinions. Those are conclusions. I'm putting those to the side. And I'm going to stick with the facts. Okay, good. Well, wow, they came from QAnon, so I don't even have to check those facts because, you know, this guy, man, last time I checked them and they were all true, so I don't have to check them anymore. Folks, that is very dangerous, okay, because these people, and I'm not saying QAnon is one of these people, but if he is, these people are very intelligent and they know what they're doing and they know human nature. And they use it as a weapon against us. And they will give you real facts, real facts, real facts. And you'll check them, and then you'll go, well, anything from this guy's true, because every time I've checked, it's always true. No, don't get lazy, folks. Keep checking it, okay? Keep checking it. That's all I can
say. Let me say this one. I'm really highly suspicious, and folks, you should be too. One of the things they keep saying that, you know, in reality, it's supposed to look like Jeff Sessions and Trump are really, really close and great friends, but they're just trying to make it look bad, so don't worry about Jeff. But, you know, here's something that I spotted a while ago on Twitter, and I've never heard anybody else say this, and maybe somebody has. Anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, because we're in a world of crazy information. But this girl pointed out, she says, you know, Jeff Sessions said this, you know, he says that, he said this today, and this was after Trump, you know, was basically picking on him. He said it wasn't correct. He said he took control of the Justice Department the day that he was sworn into office. Okay, well, what she was pointing out is, if that is indeed the case, then if he is totally in charge, then all the non-charges and all of the stuff is actually coming from Jeff. You see what I'm trying to say, Frank?
Yeah, I see what you just look. Okay, people can say what they and I. You know, this is one of those things that yeah. You know what? That part of QAnon goes in the garbage, as far as I'm concerned. Because what do you mean I don't have to worry about Jeff Sessions? Everything's under control. Really? What exactly has Jeff Sessions done? Okay, now look, I understand that Trump's justice system has really, really ramped up investigation and prosecution of pedophiles and child trafficking,
right.
And I'm glad to see that.
Amen.
But, you know, it's a big wide world, and we got a lot of problems, and that's one of them for sure. But what about all the other problems? What about all the other things? What about Mueller, for crying out loud? What about Rosenstein? Why do you still have these shill Democratic stalking horses in the Justice Department? I mean, Bill Clinton, look, when Bill Clinton, we can say what we want about Bill Clinton.
Sure.
And none of it's good. But the thing is, at least when he got in there, he was smart enough to know, okay, you know what? I'm firing every Republican prosecutor in the whole country.
Right.
And I'm replacing them with Democrats. And that's what he did. And there wasn't a squawk about it. You know why? Because that was normal operating procedure. That's what every administration did.
Right.
Why hasn't Trump done it? Why isn't Sessions purging the FBI and the whole Justice Department of these people? I don't trust Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions is invested in the private prison industry, and he's sitting there running the Justice Department. I'm sorry, but to me, that's a conflict of interest.
I agree. Let me throw this in. And so that's what else the woman was pointing out when she pointed out this is that Jeff Sessions is responsible for all that other corruption because he basically said he was, but is he, the insurance policy that those were, that, remember those two were talking and they said, well, we have an insurance policy. Is Jeff Sessions maybe that insurance policy? Because most people figured way back that Jeff was going to be the Attorney General. So, you know, I think, I don't know. I don't, here's what I have to say about Jeff. I thought more of him before he became the Attorney General, but now after looking at him and seeing his inactivity and letting all that, everything that went on, none of these people that are running the investigation, they should all be arrested. And he's doing nothing. Either they have something on him or his family, or he's one of them. And that's kind of where it's at.
That's what I feel. I agree completely with you on that last statement about Jeff Sessions. I really do. And I didn't care much about him when he was senator because he's not my senator from my state. So, you know, but I knew a little about him. As a matter of fact, I knew he was invested in private prisons when he was a senator because a lot of the senators are involved in are invested in private prisons, which, again, they shouldn't be allowed to be doing that. They're writing laws to profit from. That,
right.
You know, that shouldn't be allowed, man. You shouldn't be allowed to profit from laws you make, and they are in the Senate. You know, it's a such a deep, dirty corruption that nobody even talks about it.
Well, let's talk about it when we get back, because the producer might get upset if we don't go and decide to get out of here for 3 minutes.
Yeah, we'll take care of him.
Oh, okay. We'll be back in 3 minutes, folks.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy, already American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we are talking about QAnon, I guess it's called, and I'm talking with Frank, who has a program called The Frank Report, which is right here on American Voice Radio. And so I'm welcoming Frank back on, but I want to say something to clear the air, because what I want you folks to know is this program today, Frank and I don't really have a final conclusion. At least I don't think Frank does. It's what he said to me a little bit ago. He said it to you too, I think. But I don't have a final conclusion about QAnon. What we're trying to tell you is to be very, very cautious. Be cautious in what you listen to. You've got to get out and vote. Don't let anything put you into a sleep mode. If they say, well, you don't have to fight because there's a plan in place, don't believe anything unless you can prove it. And you're in an age and it's getting harder and harder to prove things. So, folks, you really need to do that. And so, Frank, okay. This was just in, it came over while we were doing it. They asked some of the Republicans if Jeff Sessions was fired, which I believe he should be, whatever, if he was fired, would they vote for a new attorney general? Now, I don't know anything about this Ben Sasse, S-A-S-S-E, he's a Republican, Nebraska. Said he would be highly unlikely to vote for any new attorney general that President Trump were to nominate if he were to fire Jeff Sessions. And we also have a couple of other senators that said to say the same thing, basically. Another one, Susan Collins out of Maine, but she's almost a leftist. She said she didn't see the president being able to get someone else confirmed. Republican Majority Whip John Corkland of Texas said he didn't think there was enough time to vote. So, you know, here these guys are what, rhinos? They're not even backing up the president. And that's part of my problem. It's just so insane. We don't even have a Congress they're supposed to back the president, aren't they? At least the Republicans, right? Back to you.
Well, the thing is, you know, the president nominates these people at the, what do they call it? The
pleasure?
Consent and not consent, but the advice and I'd have to look it up in the Constitution of the of the Senate. Now, how it always used to be before Trump was, it didn't matter what party you were, you won the election, you're the president, okay?
Right.
And now you've got to put together your team. And unless there was somebody, and the Democrats were the very first to start this crap over not, it used to be where, look, unless there was something like he was a child molester, he had a big criminal record, he beat his wife, you know, he was a homosexual, or, well, nowadays that would be, oh boy, we got to get him in there now. But, you know, back in the day, unless it was something heinously wrong with you,
right,
everybody got confirmed. Because, hey, it's your team. That's like sitting in the stands and the coach says, well, today, you know, I'm going to start this quarterback. And the crowd tells him, no, you're not. So the team just has to sit there. Because he can't pick a quarterback. Because he picked one and the crowd said no, so now the quarterback can't go out on the field. Really? That's no way to run anything. And then the Democrats started with Bork, you see. They didn't like his policies. They didn't like his positions. So they voted against him. That's political, folks. Okay? That is not their job. They lost the elections. They're there to make sure, okay, is this guy qualified for one? You know, I mean, whatever job it is, you know, do you have any qualifications to be there? And if you've noticed, that doesn't even count anymore. You have people running humongous agencies that have billion-dollar budgets that have absolutely no experience in that field whatsoever. And they're confirmed. They're good to go. It's all good there. And that's one of the things they are supposed to be checking. Because, you know, the whole deal was, look, we want a government full of people who are qualified, not people who are only in their positions because they donated lots of money to the candidate. Now, this is the payback to get a sweet government job for that money. See, they were supposed to keep that from happening, but that's exactly what's happening.
Right.
You know, and now it's like, well, we don't like you, so nothing. And that is like the crowd just saying, no, you know what, we don't like that quarterback, so you can't play him. So you just got to sit there on the sidelines and, you know, do nothing. You can't play the game.
Right, right, absolutely. I agree. And we predominantly, now while that has been going on for quite some time, it was so ridiculously in plain sight under the Obama years. You know, I mean, God, I couldn't believe some of the people we were appointing to. And like you say, they, actors and things, oh, well, you need to be a delegate to such and such country. Really? How can an actor be an ambassador to some country? Wouldn't they can't even talk their way out of a parking ticket. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And they put them as ambassador to China or someplace. I mean, this is ridiculous, but this is what we're seeing. And so, you know.
Well, you got to understand why they like actors so much, though. They like actors so much because actors don't have any thoughts in their own little stupid heads, okay? All they do is repeat like parrots what they're told to say, okay? That's what an actor is. An actor is an empty suit that you hand to go, okay, look, here's who you are. And they hand you a piece of paper, and that's who they are now. And then somebody else will hand them another piece of paper, and that's who they'll be then. And that's exactly the kind of person they want in these positions.
Well, yes, and they also get the added benefit that actors have an audience, and you know what I'm saying? So they have a way to sell it. And for the record, you know, now Lindsey Graham, I don't know what you think of Lindsey Graham, and I'd like to hear it. But he believes that Donald Trump will likely fire Jeff Sessions after the midterms. Is Lindsey Graham okay, or is he a rhino?
No, Lindsey Graham is a horrible rhino. You know, and if he does, Lindsey Graham will come out and attack him. You watch.
Right, right.
You know, and I honestly, I you know, I don't know who Trump's getting his advice from, to tell you the truth, but I think he's getting some bad advice. You know, not all the time, but a lot of bad advice, because the thing is, you know, look, firing Jeff Sessions is a lightning rod. There's no way about it. You know, there's no way to deny that. It's true. He's going to catch a lot of crap if he fires Sessions.
Right.
What I would do is I would fire Rosenstein. I would fire Orr. I would fire his wife. I would fire all that crew. I'd leave Jeff Sessions where he is, and I'd just fire everybody around him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and I'd leave Mueller there, too, but I'd fire Rosenstein. I'd fire everybody else.
Right, right, right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now that's something a lot of people don't understand. So the president can fire Rosenstein without firing Jeff. I would think that was Jeff's job.
Well, okay. It's
well, kind of, you know,
well I know it is. Well, and actually, you know, that would be the proper way. That would be the normal way. However,
right.
People need to understand the president is the executive order of the executive officer of the executive branch. He is,
right.
If this was a company, he would be called the CEO. And thing is, everybody in the executive branch, and this does not apply to the legislative or the judicial branch, but everybody in the executive branch works for Donald Trump. He is their boss. Now, they have other bosses between them and him, but he is the boss. So Dan, you're working at a company, and
right.
You're the, and let's just say you're the head manager, okay? But let's just say that you've become a little complacent, and you don't really care, and, you know, you're just there to, you know, do your time, so retirement, and collect your check, right? So you're not a very good manager. All right, but you're not, you know, you're not really outwardly criminal or anything like that. You're just not very good, a very good manager. And things are starting to go awry because you have some people working for you that are bad people. And because you're not paying attention, Dan, you know, they're running rampant through this company, right?
Right.
So here comes the owner of the company, the boss. Okay? And he comes in and he says, hey, you, And he's not talking to you. He walks right by you, Dan, because he knows you don't care, and you're just there to get your check anyway. And but, you know, it'd be trouble to fire you because you're very popular and everything else, right?
Right.
So he goes to the troublemakers, and he goes, you're fired. You're fired, and you're fired. Get out. And then he goes back to his office. Is he allowed to do that?
Well, he should be able to. Well, I don't see why not.
If he's the boss of the whole company, you're telling me he's not allowed to go around firing whoever he wants? Well, he can fire the janitor if he wants.
At this point, well, maybe that's what I'm thinking. That, you know, I mean, there's so much out there. I feel sorry for Trump in this light. Let's take up the issue. You said bad advice. I totally agree with that. But you know what? For somebody, you know, he's a business guy, and he walked in. You know, he trusted some people that he shouldn't have because, you know, how does he know who all these people are until he appointed them? You know where I'm getting at?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how does he know? He just walks in and he says, okay, man, you've been standing up and you, well, actually, they've been good actors. And so they've been acting all along. He appoints them, they get in and he finds out that they're not. And so he's really fighting a battle. I am thinking it might be wiser not to fire those guys until after the midterm.
Oh, I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't do anything till after the midterms.
Yeah, I think it would be just crazy to do that.
I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't do anything until after the midterms. I would,
right.
As a matter of fact, what I'd do now if I was Trump, I'd be out there campaigning.
Right.
I would. I'd be out there campaigning for every, even though you know what. I'm generally, look, I don't think much of Republicans either, okay?
I
really don't. But at this point, in this particular election, if I was Trump, I'd be out there campaigning for every Republican there is, even the ones that said, we hate Trump, Trump's no good, we don't like him. I don't care. I like this guy, I'd vote for this guy, and you should tell every American. And he ought to be out there encouraging Americans to get out there and vote in this election, because the thing is, the Democrats think they're taking something back.
Right.
And Republican voters need to say, oh, no, you're not. And the only way to do that is to get out there and outvote them. Now,
I
realize, and look, I have, you know, what I'm saying, and I'm only saying this to people who are favorable towards voting in the first place, okay? People that believe in voting, people that believe they should vote, people believe that your vote counts and all that. Those are the people I'm talking to. You need to get out there and vote.
Right.
Now, I know there's a lot of people out there, and I'm one of them, that thinks the elections are rigged. They wouldn't let us do it if it meant anything. And, you know, it's a waste of time. They're going to do what they're going to do anyway. Okay, so I'm not talking to those people. You see, if you believe that, I'm not telling you to change what you believe and go vote anyway, okay?
Right.
I'm not telling you to do that, because if you believe that, then you shouldn't vote. But if you do believe all that, you shouldn't just sit there and say, well, yeah, of course I believe in voting. I think it's good. I think it makes a difference. Look at Trump, for crying out loud. And the thing is, it's like, well, okay then. You better be out there voting if you feel that way, because you can't just sit by and go, ah, everything's okay, they're full of crap, they're hot air, you know, that's that. They said Hillary was going to win, too, and she didn't. Well, yeah, she didn't because everybody got out there and voted.
They're and voted. Yeah, and that's what, and let me say this, you know, it is amazing, and that's why I believe that the God factor in this, and you can agree or disagree, but the point is he, with, they thought they had it won because they knew of all the illegal votes. You understand? And I know, and some of the voting machines are rigged and changed. But because of the massive amount of the Americans that did get out and vote, we whipped that. Well, but they have been preparing this time for these midterms, I truly believe it, with more rigged voting machines. They have added many, many more people to the Democrat voting rolls. And so it's going to be tough. Where it's been stacked, I believe that. But Trump, to me, is proof that they didn't have it stacked completely.
Well,
they just stacked it far enough that they thought it would work.
Okay, yes, and that's true. And the reason why they only did it to where they thought it would work is because if you've noticed in the last, 20 years, In our country, we now consider a 55-45 win a landslide. Okay?
To me, that's
crazy. Pretty close.
Yeah, it is close.
But
it is close.
It's considered a landslide. And the reason it's considered a landslide is because if you've looked at our elections, most of the races and all of the national important races where there's any real race is usually, well, he or she won 51-49, right?
Right.
52-48. Oh, 53-47 is starting to get into landslide area now, right? Okay, well, because if you're going to keep doing that, then yeah, anything other than that's a landslide. But the thing is, why? Because they want to keep it close. Okay, they got to keep it close because keeping it close keeps it believable. Keeps the other side thinking, man, I had a chance. We came really close that time. You got to keep it close. So they figure out what they do their polling, they do what they think, and they go out there and they go, okay, this is how many phony votes we need, okay?
Right.
And they put that in the system, and that's what they get, and they're calculated, and they're confident that that's enough to win. But when people say, oh, yeah, well, you know what, I've never voted in my life, I'm voting for Trump. I haven't voted in 20 years, I'm voting for Trump. I used to be a Democrat, I'm voting for Trump. See, when that happens, they don't count on that. They don't know about that. So here you come and bang! Oh, bad news, Hillary. You know, that's what happened then. But like you said, they're preparing.
Yeah,
they know
they
about it this time.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And it will surprise me if we do actually keep the House. And just think about it. Look, our economy is doing better. I mean, it hasn't trickled down to everybody, but, you know, Frank,
it never does.
In Wichita, well, right, but I don't mean by trickling down. I'm seeing people go back to work, you know.
Well, sure, but I'm just saying, you know.
That I haven't seen work. I mean, it hadn't caught up with us or nothing yet completely, but the point is I am seeing people go back to work that I haven't seen work in years. And that's what I'm talking about,
right.
And I know other people are gaining from it, and I can see, you know, it is getting better. They're going to reverse, they would reverse that almost as instantly as they could, and let alone the agenda, you know, we're seeing where all their hatred's at. They've revealed themselves. They can't no longer say, oh, well, we get along with everybody, we love everybody, because they showed their hatred now. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're going to be, they'll come after everybody. At some point, it's going to inevitably happen. But they'll come after us. We need to support talk radio. That means people need to support your station. You know, you're just a mom and pop station is what we call it. But you are in parity to this process. Whether you tell people to get out and vote or not, you're telling the truth to the best of your ability. And so your program, your radio station is important because, you know, they don't want to hear about it. And you're not going to hear, folks, you're not going to hear what's going on American Voice Radio if you turn on your car radio. You're not going to hear it.
Well, and so, you know, people out there are whining and crying about Alex Jones getting kicked off of YouTube and FedBook. Oh wow, I'm really shedding a lot of tears over that, and I'm all broke up about it. You know, and I'm all for free speech, and I don't think it's right that they do that to anybody. But you know, I don't really care about him. And the thing is, yeah, people are crying about that, but you know, which would be worse, getting kicked off of FedBook or having the IRS chase you down for 12 years?
Yeah.
Have the IRS contact all your hosts and your sponsors, where half of them quit because they're scared of the IRS. Which was worse, getting kicked off of FedBook or that? Because, see, that's what I get to do. While Alex Jones, the poor little victim over there, gets kicked off of FedBook. You know, that's the thing, man. It's like, you know, people in this country are so lost, and their day is coming where, you know, they think everything's fine and I don't have to do anything. And, well, you're going to find out you're wrong. because you're lost, and you're going to be sorry you're lost at one time because they don't pay attention. They don't know what's going on. They don't know who their enemy is. Okay?
Right.
They look at the Mexican down the street and they think that's their enemy because, oh, maybe he's here illegally, maybe he ain't. They're looking at the Jew over there because, oh, well, look at him. He's got a Mercedes and he works at the bank. He must be my enemy. You know what? Those people are not your enemies. The people in Washington, D.C. are your enemies. The people in your state capital are your enemies. The judges that sit on your court are your enemies. Those are your enemies, and you better start identifying your enemies, or you're going to be a victim.
Right. Well, Frank, I appreciate you being on. I got to let you out a little early.
All right.
I want to give about 3 minutes to the Wichita Mission Church, but you really, Frank, tell them when you can get, they can get your program, and I encourage you folks to come over and support American Voice Radio.
Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific. Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m. Pacific. Both of those times are original shows, meaning, you know, the 2 o'clock's not replayed at 8 o'clock. They're separate, different new shows. So, and they're right here on AVRN.
Okay. Thanks for being on, Frank. We'll talk again. And folks, absolutely go over and listen to it. And they're also archived at AmericanVoiceRadio.com. Okay, folks, a lot of you, I'm praying we got some new listeners tonight, but whatever. You know, we do minister to people in a part of town. Most people don't even want to go through. The organized church is just not there, and we are. We are there. We're not a 501(c) corporate church, but we are an unincorporated church. And if you need a tax deduction, you can get it. We'll send you a thank you note, and you will get a tax deduction if you do that kind of thing. But pray about it. Support talk radio. We do need support for this radio program. Messiah's Branch does not sell anything. The only way that we are on the air is by your kind donations. So pray about it. And Messiah's Branch Mission Church, we are the last hope for so many. And folks, we're all responsible to care one for another as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. I have to pay American Voice Radio, and we also have to pay the company that hosts the podcast, because first we record it on live radio, and then you folks listen to it on a podcast site. I have to pay for that podcast site. We also have to pay for the electric in this building. Messiah's Branch is just, we're kind of like a home church with a building. And we've been doing what we do, and a mission church has been going on. We're in our 19th year, and we've been on American Voice Radio since 2004. We started talk radio in 2002. So pray about it. We are trying to do the Father's work to the best of our ability. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, or you can give a donation over the phone. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. So pray about it. We also need, you know, Bibles. We need large print King James Bibles. And if my wife was here, she'd tell you, if you live in Wichita, you see a food sale, you know, get some, bring it. You know, 10 pounds of hamburger will feed 60 people. Think about that, 60 or more people. When you take that hamburger and mix it with pasta and some tomatoes and stuff, you know what? You've got the making for either goulash or spaghetti, depending on which way you go with it. It's getting going to be cool soon. We're going to make, I'll be making a lot of chili. So beans, you know, large number 10 cans. You can bring small cans, but when you got to open 30 cans, it's a little easier to open about 4 cans of the big beans. You know what I'm saying? So pray about it. Do whatever you're led to. If you live in Wichita, you can also bring, your clean clothing. We have a clothes closet. We give it directly away. So many people come in there. We're the only place for them to get fresh clothing. And so pray about it. Really do pray about it. We want you to take all things to the Father. If you have an idea for a guest, you can send me that information. You can find a way to do that. It's either elcm@messiahsbranch.org or go over to the prophecyhour.com. There is a form there to you can send me an email. So send me an email. Call me. You can do that. Again, if you call me on my cell phone, sometimes I don't answer because I've been getting a lot of, not prank calls, but they're trying to sell me everything in the world on it. And that's because if you don't know it or not, you get on a do not call list. But if you make the mistake of doing a survey online. Oh boy, that's a terrible one. You have everybody calling you in the world because you give them permission to do some and you can't do anything about it. So again, pray about it all. Support the Wichita Mission Church. Support what we do. We don't get any help from any organized churches, all those things. We're just the strange people down the street to take care of the homeless and poor and do weird holidays. Remember, the feasts are coming up next month. Can't wait for the appointed times. So pray about it. And for the record, the appointed times, especially Feast of Tabernacles, you are supposed to donate to the poor. It doesn't have to be to me, but do it in the poor in your area. But remember, folks, it all boils down to one thing. You need to remember that there is only one God. Who is he? He's your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. And I know a lot of you use his other name, Jesus Christ. He said there would be another people when he was talking to the Jews. He said there would be another people that would call him by a different name. I believe he was talking about you. But he understands who you're talking to. So I'm not a sacred name person, you know, although I believe Yeshua is his proper name. Anyway, remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.